Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Hey.
Running in the production of a small unit mass of comparable range and noise.
Also gain some new ones. Who knows?
Sure.
Anyway.
Hateful ones.
Yeah. Hateful, welcome to Horror Play, everyone. The podcast dedicated to finding the scariest game ever made. I'm your host, John Lasswith. Joining me, as always, are my responsible co-hosts.
I'm pretty responsible.
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I pay my bills and shit.
Yeah, I guess I do that one.
Yeah.
So, Robert
I drink
Lamb,
and drive a lot.
Uh-huh.
Say hi to everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Because that's the responsible thing to do.
Yep.
Kyle Appiah, what responsible thing did you do today?
Today, I actually mowed my lawn.
That's pretty responsible.
Yeah, twice.
No Wait, one else
have
is
a lawn. I have a lawn and then I mow it.
Oh, shit.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. You can hire people.
Grows back
do
fast.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you live in a place where there's a lot of home challenged people.
Homely challenged
homely.
Gentlemen?
Yeah. I'm sure they do it for like $5.
But it's the winter. Grass doesn't grow.
They
that
live
fast.
The no. alfresco lifestyle.
I don't mow my lawn. I just said that for the podcast. It's a disaster out there.
You just let it go.
Just let it go.
You just wait till someone gets puts a letter on your door.
So someone cares enough.
It says, please fix this.
Okay.
Adam Jetmore, how responsible are you on a scale of 1 to 2, Mr. Rogers?
Oh, that's a hard reference for me. I'm not very familiar with Mr. Rogers.
How or the number
was
one.
Or, yeah, the number one. I wanted to start
Wait,
at the thing that I was.
You don't know who Mr. Rogers is?
I mean, I know who he is, but like, I know the sweaters. I know there was the creepy train. Like, but that's there's about the extent of my knowledge. I know he had a neighborhood. How the fuck did he pull that one off?
Yeah.
He had a whole neighborhood.
Because he was responsible.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. You have to be responsible to own a neighborhood.
Because I'm sure Hitler didn't start with a whole country.
No.
No, he just
started with a street and a dream.
And a twinkle in his eye. Anyway, guys.
Mr. Rogers wanted to encourage his children. If your parents are up to anything suspicious, you let Mr. Rogers know.
That's true.
And we'll have the secret police arrest them.
So, guys, it's the first horror play of 2016. Never mind the fact that it's... like the third week of January, but
we're a little late.
It's still the first one.
Yeah,
that doesn't change the fact.
Listen, listeners, you're on Horror Play time, which means continuous.
We release whenever we release, and hopefully you don't stop listening.
Yeah,
we lead busy lives.
Yeah,
yeah.
These games take time to play.
Sure. They
do.
And then sometimes we bail out and play a short one like this.
And the last three we played. We've been busy.
You're pulling back too much of the curtain here, guys.
That's true. That's true.
So, guys, what games are you playing that aren't horror games?
None.
Really?
Tomb Raider. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
How's that?
It's good.
Yeah.
I haven't beat it yet. I'm like halfway through.
Did you get on your Xbox One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really played my PS4 that much.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
I've downloaded a lot of indie games for it.
They postponed Uncharted 4 again to like April.
They did.
Well, it's supposed to be the last Uncharted, so I think you can wait for it.
No.
Can't you?
I wanted it this last year when it was supposed to come out.
Yeah, and I mean the PS4 has a huge problem with they've been promising big games for a long time, but I don't think there's...
The Last Guardian hasn't come out.
Yeah.
Like, they've been promising that for years.
Yeah, I don't think they've released anything killer for PS4 yet. There's a lot of cool multi like platform stuff, but there's nothing that's like, oh, I gotta have a PS4.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII remake's not gonna come out for a couple of years. I don't think.
I think Until Dawn. I mean, we're gonna play that, but that's the only exclusive one that I even might get.
Yeah, soon. I don't know if I would play that if it were not for this
for a horror play.
Yeah,
probably not. So. Unless it was like cheaper. Like, I don't want to spend full price.
Yeah,
on
if it was like $40, maybe I'd check it out. 30 would be even better.
I think
better.
It is almost down to 40 now on Amazon. It fluctuates between 40 and 50.
You know what's funny is that I was having a conversation the other day, like talking about how expensive games are, and he made a pretty good point. It's that, you know, games have always kind of been around like the $60 price point.
They
it's
have.
Just. You don't remember as a kid because you weren't the one buying them.
It's true.
I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right.
N64 games were $60. Like when
Super
they
Nintendo
out.
Games apparently were around 70.
There were so, there were we? Some, yeah, I think there were some NES games, too, that were pretty expensive that were like $70, $80.
It's weird that they haven't inflated.
I guess that's a good
Shh.
Thing.
Don't tell them. Well, it's not like, yeah, because they're listening.
Yeah, all the developers are listening to this and like wait a second. $80.
They're right.
Damn
sorry,
it.
You're not counting on the phone.
We've been going about this all wrong.
Big typing machine.
Janet.
All right, anyway. Kyle.
Yes.
What game are we talking about today?
Five Nights at Freddy's the third.
The third?
The third.
The third game.
He sounds so
proper.
Official. Yeah, proper.
Yeah, my lord. Five Nights at Freddy's the third, my lord.
Now, as of this recording, the fourth game's already out.
And
also
and the RPG.
And the RPG. RPG.
Well, not...
Not anymore, actually.
It's out it
and taken
and
back.
Unreleased.
And refunds
oh,
have
really?
Been given, yeah.
Why?
He wasn't happy with how it came out. I guess it's kind
it
of
nobody was happy with how it came
it
out.
It got a lot of bad reviews. If you looked on the Steam kind of review page, there were like so many bad reviews. Like a lot of complaints were that the game was just... It felt super rushed, which is a common complaint for all his games, but... It was apparently especially true for this one. And what he did was, which is really cool, he pulled the game, offered full refunds to anybody, regardless of how many hours you played. And he's planning to release the game later on for free to everybody.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He, Scott Cawthon.
Scott Cawthon.
Yeah, he, the guy who made the games, like, he said that the first four games that he made, a lot of people said they were rushed because they did come out like the same year, some of them. So like he always got that complaint, but he always felt that the games weren't rushed to him. Like he felt that he actually spent time and came up with a story, but he did agree with the RPG and that's why he pulled it out. And
yeah, an RPG is a little bit more in depth than just what these
I would
are.
Think so. Yeah. Instead of the point and click kind of horror
yeah,
games.
Yeah. I saw some screenshots of it when it first released and it looked kind of cool, but
well, if he releases it for free, we'll probably review it for some reason on here.
Sure.
Maybe as a bonus for Patreon or something.
Yeah.
Right. All right, so tell us about Five Nights at Freddy's 3, Kyle.
Well, if you're familiar with the first two Five Nights at Freddy's, there's really not much that has changed. It's basically the same game. You're a security guard in this dark, what would we say, like amusement area. In the first game, it was a pizzeria. Second game, it was also a pizzeria. Third game, it's now...
It's like
a tourist attraction, yeah.
Yeah,
based off the horrors of the first two. So I guess it's become infamous in the years, and now it's this sort of amusement place where you go to get scared as opposed to where you go to get pizza.
Yeah, I think it was 30 years after.
Yeah, 30 years later.
And the original one was torn down, and it was built on the same property.
So my so question is this game set like in the current, like is it only current setting we have, like let's say the first one happened in the 80s, second one 90s, and this one's now current.
I mean, I can never
maybe
I can never figure out what the storyline was. Like yeah. It was always just vague, which
this
is intentional.
It would have to be somewhat current or even older because of the video camera setting. Like
that's true.
If it was in the future, you'd think that it wouldn't be all staticky.
Yeah,
every,
let's get some HD cameras.
Night. Yeah,
here's some GoPros or something. I mean, these guys do come to life.
Fair, like the cameras kept going out on you, so. It's not like it was great technology anyway.
But that's what I'm saying. I think it should be older or at least maybe current. I don't know. Who knows?
Or it's just cheap equipment.
Yeah, but still.
So I don't know how you guys felt, but when I was playing this game, it felt like I was... This is the third entry in the series. It felt like I was watching, like, you know, Halloween, Season of the Witch, or Nightmare on Elm Street 5, or, you know, Halloween 10. Like,
so your favorite movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. You just listed your top three horror movies.
Yeah, John's top three movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I think at this point, Five Nights at Freddy's, it's just the franchise aspect of it kind of overlooks like the individual games itself. Like the third point in the game, like you're playing it just because it's a Five Nights at Freddy's game, not just because It's a brand new iteration of the Five Nights at Freddy's experience.
Right.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, watching, like, a Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Like, you're not watching it because, like, oh, like, I really
what
care
other
about the
shitty
new characters.
Franchise can you name, like, the worst Saw movie of?
Saw 6.
Jason 10.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Transformers Age of Extinction.
Yeah. Alien Resurrection.
Ugh. Let's not go that far.
I don't
AVP
that,
2.
That was
Terminator
that was
Genesis.
Worse than Jason 10.
Was that the one where they went to space?
Yes.
Yeah.
This sucks on so many levels.
Jaws the Revenge.
Oh shit, that's the Trump car right there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good that's
but yeah, Open Water 2.
But yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's the first one. Like that was a legitimately good game. It was scary, it was unique, it was fresh. Two was kind of like a unique little spin on it. They add like another layer of strategy. And the third one is just like, oh, okay, it's another go around. Yeah.
It's like, wait.
Human Centipede 3. That one I heard was really
oh, there's
bad.
A 2?
I mean, do you think that was the worst one, though? Because there was a 500-person centipede in that one.
Jesus Christ. All right, anyways.
Like, all the ones in the middle, they gotta be dead, right? Or like...
Oh, man.
Most of that centipede's dead.
Yeah, to wait to get all that food?
Yeah.
You're
can
dying.
You imagine, like, would it just, like... It would just get worse, like, the more it passes, like, a...
Yeah, as it's going through the digestive system, it's kind of
so, like, the last person is literally, like, the worst place.
Yeah, the nutrients are just going to get filtered out more and more.
Yeah, the first three people are going to be dragging those other 497 around. Yeah. They're just going to be dead bodies.
The thing is, like, the 500 person, he's going to be eating the shit of 499 other people.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, that's dumb.
Anyway, let's get back to the game.
Right.
Just why? Just I don't, yeah, stupid. I don't know.
It just looks like they put them all ass to mouth. Like it doesn't even look they're sewn together.
No, it's not.
It's like please just put your face in this person's ass.
Even filming that would be like if you're an extra, that sucks.
Yeah. You gotta stay there for a while.
Yeah, your face is in somebody's ass for like probably like a couple
just
hours.
Just so you guys know, adult film star Brie Olsen was in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was she attached to somebody?
I
did
have
she
no
go
clue.
Ask them out?
You would have to assume.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Nice one, John.
Anyway, speaking of ask them out, what was everyone's scariest moment in the game?
That made sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I went with the Puppet Master, which is, I guess, that creature or that thing that pops up. And just
what
all
made
sudden,
him pop up, by the way? Like
I don't know.
Really
it was random, like in the later nights.
When you start hallucinating,
yeah.
I guess.
But it was like he would pop up and you couldn't do anything. Like you couldn't check the video cameras. You couldn't reset anything. Essentially, this is like the same kind of gameplay as the other ones, but you mm-hmm. just do different things to keep one enemy back, Springtrap, who's like another rabbit animatronic. And then
that's one thing we should mention. The like the original characters, like they kind of make an appearance, but they're not like the real bad guys.
They're hallucinations, yeah. Pretty much.
They're like, there's phantom only, versions.
The
of
main
the
enemy is Springtrap, which I think is a new character.
Yeah, yes. And he's the only one, and he's just another rabbit.
I believe he was alluded to in Five Nights at Freddy's 2. I think they mentioned something about another animatronic.
Right.
It didn't actually appear in the game. I think when Phone Guy was talking to you one time, he mentioned something about another animatronic
with
a spring.
When I realized that like the original characters they weren't playing like a starring role, like it actually made me kind of depressed. I'm just like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I mean, Springtrap is cool, but I want to see Freddy and Bonnie and Chica.
Yeah, Springtrap just kind of feels like a weird amalgamation of all of them.
Right.
I'm surprised you just went with another rabbit.
Yeah.
Like when he already had Bonnie. It's kind of weird. Like my main complaint of the second one was that there were too many enemies. Like there was just so many and like so many things.
There's like the old versions
and
then
the
new
versions. Plus like that messed up one, Foxy, plus the Balloon Boy. Balloon Boy. Yeah, all those. And it's just like it's just too much going on. I do like that they scaled back in this one. It was a little simpler and you only had that one enemy. And I don't know, it's still kind of the same gameplay, still kind of the same atmosphere, so I think it worked. But yeah, I agree, like, having the old characters would have been kind of cool. I don't know.
Well, in a more meaningful role.
Right.
I do like that the power management thing was gone, like, altogether. I liked the gameplay here a lot better than one. I liked the system shutting down and you having to reboot them and things like that instead of worrying about, like, closing your doors and turning your lights on and going and winding this thing. It's nice that you didn't have to really go like check a specific room to have to do some activity, like it just it being scaled back.
I think,
like, two. Ultimately, it just replaces one repetitious thing for another. It's like instead of making sure that you had, you know, you go wind the music box up and then you go and check to see if you had the right. And
that's why the gameplay is similar.
Yeah, it's just like it just replaces all that shit with. You have to reset the audio device or the camera system after a certain amount of times that you look, like a certain amount of times after you do the audio thing, you got to reset it, or the camera system and the ventilator, you also have to reset. So it just replaces that with the goddamn wind up music box and the flashlight and all that.
Yeah. But that's my scariest. I the puppet mask. Cause whenever he showed up, like it was just like really random. And it was like the music was like screeching and you couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, literally just the first jump scare. Then after that, it's like, oh, it's another Five Nights at Freddy's. Then I just get pissed off. I'm like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt this time, too. The first real jump scare I got, I actually wasn't sure if it was scripted or not. I think it came in the second night. This one, like the first night, you literally did nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You just sat there and listened to the story the whole time. And the second night, I felt kind of towards the end of the recording you had to listen to. I was just messing around and one of the phantoms popped up at me. And that was it. And I was like, was that supposed to happen right there? Because it kind of seemed like I couldn't control anything for a few seconds.
Right.
And then that happened. And then after that, I was like, all right, I get it, Freddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me is when I saw kind of Freddy's shadow walking across that window of your office. Because, like I said, I love the original characters. So seeing Freddy just kind of brought back kind of scary memories from the first game. But it also made me depressed when I realized that, well, he's not doing like anything meaningful in this game. But it was still scary to see him just kind of stalking the outside of the window. So, yeah. Get yourself
I think
in
that,
there,
that was.
I'm just trying.
I see you just like trying to stretch and then contort yourself.
Because I'm trying to get everybody in the picture and I can't.
I
can't. Now
wait
I can Instagram
you
it.
Break down and buy a selfie stick so we can all make.
No
video.
Way. Yeah. I will never do that.
You bring my selfie stick in.
I'm gonna just get a stick from outside and take my phone to it.
I would respect that.
Yeah. It's kind of like what, leaves Kyle. On it and like a caterpillar.
Bring in your selfie stick and then we'll still make fun of Robert.
Okay.
There you go.
But. Here's the problem with the design in yours. You need something to click the button.
Another stick.
Well, here's the problem. Since you have an iPhone, it's got that screen where it detects the electrical impulses from your finger. So
I need a severed finger on the end of the stick.
Exactly.
Aha. So we murder somebody, but who? Oh,
yeah. Or we just get that person that we're going to murder and force them to press the button.
Oh, yeah.
And they just become our slave.
Okay.
Maybe even a sex slave. For the studio. For the studio. For the studio.
For
the studio.
For business.
They stay in here for business purposes.
We'll
dark pretty quickly.
We'll table this one for now. We'll get back to it after the show.
We can put them under
the
table.
Yeah, under the table.
Why don't we take a break here? I feel like, slave talk is...
Yeah, we need to go hash this out because I'm liking the severed finger idea still.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to discuss this off the air.
Then let's take a break and really talk about this sex slave severed finger thing.
Let's really get to the bottom of this.
We'll see you guys in a little bit. Hey, guys. I have a problem.
What's that?
I love reading books. That's not the problem.
Right? Seems like a problem.
Right. But I love reading books, but due to a baking accident, I've lost my vision. I'm blind now.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't mention that earlier.
Yeah,
so it doesn't matter.
Do you really need to?
I can't see anymore. I can't see anymore. So
how did you play all those horror games?
He listened to them.
Yeah,
I told him about everything that was happening.
So I'm in a pickle here.
Yeah,
I like reading books, but I can't see anymore.
You were baking a pickle?
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. That's probably what caused the explosion.
Yeah. I don't know. So many questions.
Pickles? Yeah.
I have a lot of questions because I didn't know this until just now. And I was wondering why you kept bumping into things. Yeah.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the problem?
I love reading books.
Loves reading books.
But I can't see anymore.
But he can't see. So
do you guys have a solution of some sort?
Nope.
Let's move on.
Oh, wait. Kyle has
I think
one.
I got one.
Okay, well.
Really?
Yeah. I think you better fucking go to a doctor, man. What are you doing here?
I did.
Okay.
He gave me some cream.
Right. So. For your eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It tracks.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? While you're in the waiting room, you can check out audible.com.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
What's
they got,
that?
They got 180,000, more than that, more than 180,000 audiobooks for you to listen to.
Audiobooks?
Like 180,000 in one?
That'd be more.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. They always say over 180,000. Like, what does that mean? Like,
180,001.
Yeah, 180,001 or
why
two.
Why don't you say, like, up to or...
Yeah. No, because they
because
can say...
Because it's over.
Yeah, it's over. So they're saying we but, have... More than
yeah,
that.
We
if they said up to 200,000, yeah. that would mean like they cap at 200,000.
Yeah. Okay. And then you'd be like, shit, what happened?
Yeah, they I only need, have 200,000.
Like 200,001
books. They add a title that to send out a press release.
Yeah. Hey, guys, up to 200,001 books now.
Kyle, as a blind person, why should I go to Audible?
Well, you know what? Audible has audiobooks for you.
Audiobooks.
Not only that, but it's audiobooks that are sometimes narrated by famous people.
So you're oh, saying... Shit. That I don't have to see
to believe.
I can just listen
you
to believe.
Just listen.
The one thing I would recommend when it comes to Audible is not to do like Kyle suggested and check Audible out in the waiting room of the doctor's office since uh-huh. you can't see.
Right.
Yeah.
You might want to have a loved one whom you trust.
Yes.
Yeah, download your book for you.
That's right. true.
Because you won't know what you're downloading. Waiting room.
You guys have any recommendations while I'm listening? Well, to
I just read The Martian by Andy Weir. And it's narrated by R.C. Bray, so check that one.
Here's a question. If a blind person goes to see The Martian...
He wouldn't see
it. It's basically just listening to an audiobook, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But still, go to Audible and try it out. Like, yeah. listen to the actual book.
Yeah.
It's a little different than the movie.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, any device you have, they can hook you up with an audiobook for that. For free, if you go to audibletrial.com/shark. I guess you have to add that one in there, too.
You might want to. Yeah, I might say the promo code.
So, audibletrial.com/shark.
Free audiobook, free 30-day trial.
Free 30-day trial.
Get well soon, John.
Thank you. Welcome back to Horror Play. Well, that was a very spirited discussion.
I'm yep. glad you guys decided on... getting the sex slave, but still letting me get the severed finger.
Oh yeah, it's
from the
win.
Sex slave.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. We just
you,
took it from
you talked a good talk.
I really think. No. I don't know why I didn't see that from the beginning.
Yeah,
that was clearly the way
that was
to
the
go
best
the whole
option.
Time.
Listen, you gotta meet in the middle.
Yeah, life's all about compromise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, speaking of compromise.
Yep.
Why don't we
compromise about some ratings?
Yeah, that's something.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's what we do.
Sure.
We all agree on our ratings.
We always compromise about the ratings. I say one time we should actually just like respectfully talk about everybody's ratings and just kind of go with it. See how it goes. All right, whatever.
All right,
here we go. So if you haven't listened to Horror Play before, which you should because this is Five Nights at Freddy's 3, and you should at least listen to the first two of those if you're going to listen to this
Why
one.
Why don't you choose this episode to be the first one you listen to?
That's what
I'm
saying.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. If you did, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and we I just lost a new
We
listener.
All hate you. All right. Anyways, we have a rating system that we use. Obviously, we're trying to find the scariest game ever made. But we also have three other categories that we judge the games on: immersion, story, and gameplay. Immersion encompasses atmosphere, music, sound effects, creativity, graphics, where we immerse in the game. Story is plot, characters, and enemies. Gameplay is the controls and level design. And then the last and fourth category is scariness, which is just how scary was the game. So let's start off with going with immersion, where we immerse in this game. I gave it a 7 out of 10. John, a 6.5 out of 10. Kyle, a 6 out of 10. Adam, a 6 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't do anything special.
I gave it the same rating I gave the first two. I felt like it was pretty similar.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I gave it a 7.
I gave this game a little bit less than the original game. Because it was nice that the game kind of went back to basics. Because the second game, they just introduced like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
This one, like, yeah, they went back to basics. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I felt it felt like the impact was not as strong.
I agree.
You know, it didn't feel like I was watching Halloween 1. I was watching Halloween Season of the Witch.
Jesus, John. So. God, we get it.
At what point does the security guard's head turn to spiders?
That would have been cool.
That would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It definitely, getting into this one, I really liked the first two, but there was just a fatigue to it.
Yeah.
I've done it. All right. It didn't really, the games don't change enough. I mean, two he tried to add a lot to, but we're complaining that it was too much, but it was too much. He could have cut a few things out, and they would have been some good new additions to the game, but yeah, there were too many that you had to try and juggle suddenly.
Yeah, that's why I actually liked this one a little bit better than two. Not much, but just because of the fact that there's just so much to do, it just felt like overload and like too many characters. At least this one felt a little bit more confined.
Oh, no, I'm opposite.
You know what it was? You know what it was like? So the first game, you had like the two doors on both sides. The second game, you didn't have any doors. You were just like in a wide open room.
Yeah.
This one, you just have like the one. What's that?
Didn't the vents close? No, oh, yeah, you just turned the lights on.
Yeah, you turned the lights
on.
But this one, you just had like that one door, and you got obviously the vents. And it just felt like this one, like.
And one enemy, basically.
You felt the safest.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. It's just like, because like this one, like you didn't feel as exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's part of the reason why I didn't feel immersed. I didn't feel like I was in danger.
Yeah.
Because like you had that audio cue to play an audio in a room and to lure the animatronic away.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like just having like the one door or like the one entryway just kind of hindered the immersion aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Really. You felt too safe, basically.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Me too.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go to story then. Story is plot, characters, enemies. I gave it a 6.5, John a 5, Kyle 3, Adam a 4. Again, I kind of kept it similar.
I think that was a 14, actually.
You gave it a 14 out of 10?
Wow. Yeah, can you double check my paper, please?
Jesus.
He's going all out.
Yeah. I didn't know the ratings were going to get this crazy. Let me average it out again. Now, I kept it kind of similar.
So I know I rated this one the lowest out of what I've... Well, I don't remember what I put on the first one, but I remember the second one I was a little bit higher. I think that was around a 5.5 or a 6 for story.
Mm.
But on this one, like, I liked the whole aspect of it, of it kind of being secret and really no one knowing what was going on. But it just annoyed me this time around. I was like, just make it a little bit more clear. What happened here?
Yeah, that's kind of what you get because... In between nights, you again, like the second one, you play these kind of 8-bit games, and it's like you play as different characters, and you keep getting attacked by this one purple man.
The purple
or something
man.
Like that. And I guess he was referenced
or David
in the second
Tennant.
One. David Tennant.
David Tennant, yeah.
And
back here, Jessica.
Jessica!
But and he keeps attacking and like ripping apart the animatronics, and you don't know what that is, and then you kind of figure out some more stuff with that, but it's still... isn't like fully fleshed out, but again, I feel like every horror game we play, they never have like a legit story.
They don't,
except for maybe The Last of Us.
Yes,
The Last of Us. The only one that was like pretty straightforward. Like I got what was going on. Everything else is just like so fucking random sometimes.
This one feels even more obscure though because it's kind of.
Well, I think the first was the best. Like that kind of.
Okay, so what's the story of the third one? Basically, this is like,
it's. I think it's set like 30 years.
Yeah.
Later than sometime.
The events that happened in the original game, that's kind of like become like an urban legend.
Yes.
Kinda.
Right.
Right.
And the end that happened in the second game, I think the second game actually predates the first game.
That's what I thought too, but...
Really? Oh, yeah. I've heard there is...
I think the second game takes place before the first game, which would kind of make sense with the additional animatronics and stuff and them having new animatronics and things. And it just looked, the facility looked better
newer.
In general.
Yeah.
And then I think this one might take place 30 years
it
after
is.
The closure of the first game.
So they were trying to like make like a horror house.
But
based
apparently,
on the urban legend.
I think what happened is there's a man who killed children.
Yes.
And
which is the purple man.
Right.
Right.
And the children inhabit the animatronics.
Yes.
Right, they put them in the suits.
So there's a good ending and a bad ending. Spoiler alert if you haven't played the game, but the good ending is somewhat like the kids escape the suits. And
yeah,
the bad ending is they're still kind of haunting the suits.
There's more hidden mini games, I think.
Right. And that you can play.
Yeah.
And little secrets you can find.
And if you play all of the mini games, then you get that good ending. And I think it shows like a scene of... the purple guy hiding in the spring trap suit from the animatronics, and then it malfunctions and he dies.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The first game, the original animatronics, they were actually possessed by the spirits of the dead children who were murdered?
That's, yes. Yeah. That's
and
the
Spring Trap
theory.
Was the original killer.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he was the purple man who killed the kids.
Did the purple man, were there any references to him in the first game?
No.
No.
No, but in the second one, I think there were.
Yes.
Yeah, there was those Atari mini games.
That's another reason people think that it takes place before the first game, because it kind of shows the murders in there. So they think that the purple man killed the kids who then possessed the animatronics.
Right.
And then in this one, the animatronics are coming after the purple man, who then hides in the spring suit, the spring man suit, or whatever the fuck, a spring trap suit.
Okay.
And you hear in one of the recordings while you're playing that...
I'm derailing the whole thing.
Robert was selfing out of the corner of my eyes, like, Jesus Christ.
No, I'm taking pictures of everybody.
You hear in the course of the game that the spring trap suit could fit a person or an exoskeleton in it, but then they recommended not to put a person in it because it would malfunction and kill you.
And that's what it did.
And that's what it did at the end of the game to the purple man, who then possessed the spring trap suit.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is.
And the whole reason it's spring trap in this one is because the original museum was torn down. So the people who rebuilt this building are looking for things, and they have like a paper plate or like a party hat or something like that.
Oh, I see.
And the first night they're about to close down if they don't find something, and then like the beginning of the second night they're like, "We found one." So they find Springtrap, and that's why that's the only monster.
Oh. Nice.
But definitely miss the old guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also like a fourth game, so I'm wondering what the story
Can't wait.
Goes after that.
I do know that you play as a baby in that
one. I know that too, which is interesting.
Really?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to gameplay. All right, gameplay is basically controls.
I feel so informed now.
Do you?
I know. I feel like I'm a Five Nights at Freddy's expert.
I like that. That's a good...
It's actually not bad.
It's a good story, but like...
Yeah, I was really interested in the games when we first... Or played the first couple, so I was looking into them a lot, so I kind of know.
Yeah, I read
about
it.
Way too much about the story.
Well, I read about it after we played this one, because I wanted to kind of get more of the story for the third game.
I think he even put out an Amazon, like a Kindle book.
Oh,
recently. And that actually kind of tells some of the story.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Instead of the speculation that goes on the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's always going to be that.
Yeah.
All right, gameplay, controls, and level design. I gave it a 6 out of 10. John, a 5.5. Kyle, a 2. Adam, a 6.
I played this game.
We all look at Kyle.
I know. Well, I knew.
Didn't say anything.
I knew, because I'm probably the one that played this on my iPad.
Nope, I did.
You did?
Yep.
This fucking map thing took up the entire like camera screen. I had no fucking clue what was going on when I was on my iPad, and like I couldn't see Pat like through all of like the camera things, and it just felt really clunky.
It did. The video screens were really small. And map did take up a good portion of it, so it really was hard to see some of them sometimes. I did not fault it for that, personally.
Yeah,
it's fine. It was dark. I didn't know what was going on, especially in a game where like you have to figure it out for yourself. And I'm not knowing what to expect, having played the last two. Like, is Foxy going to start running at me at some point?
Right.
Am I going to have to look out for the balloon kid, or am I going to turn anything? What's the deal with the audio box?
Well, that's the thing, is like this game is definitely all the Five Nights at Freddy's games are kind of like a lot of repetition and learning the patterns and learning what to do.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you can go online and say like, you know, how do I get past night three? And
so what was the
come up
pattern
with ideas.
For this game?
The pattern is you basically, since there's only one character, Springtrap, it's finding where Springtrap is, and you can always lure him away by clicking on a room that's adjacent to it. And clicking that sound bite, which is Balloon Boy or whatever.
Right.
And then if he's in the air, like if you hear air vents kind of thumping around, like you click on the map area and you click on the air vent and you have to close the door. That's pretty much what you're doing back and forth. And then whenever one of your systems shuts down, you reboot that and go back to the camera system. And you're kind of going back and forth. That's pretty much what you're doing. And you just have to monitor that. And whenever a hallucination comes up, just hurry up and fix that. So, I mean, that's
there was a way to kind of bypass the hallucinations. Right. I think it was like every time you see Shadow Freddy, you just bring up, you know, a monitor real quick.
Right.
You know, before he walks across. If you see like, you know, like a face on one of the camera monitors, you just have to change cameras really quick.
But that's stuff you have to pick up on right. The more you play it. It's not something you're going to like learn
yeah.
right away.
Yeah, repetition is
it's
the key.
It's repetition
to this
saying like, why did this happen this time, like repeatedly? And like, and then you have to figure it out.
Towards the end of it, it's like whoever's got the fastest finger, you just like keep, if you can do that repetition, do that cycle through it as fast as you can and faster, that's how you beat it.
You know what was really tough? Because like a key element of gameplay is trying to figure out where Springtrap is. And he was, I don't really fault him for doing this. I think it was kind of cool. But like he's like really hidden,
yeah,
like in the camera screens. Like he's not like in the middle. He's always like towards the side or in the corner.
That was really hard for me at first because, like Kyle mentioned, the map took up so much on the video monitor, yeah. And it was dark. But then I just realized I needed to turn my brightness up.
Yeah.
Nah. Well, so he still was hard to find. It was really clever that he would kind of be tucked in the corner, just like peeking out from behind a wall.
Yeah.
It was you had to pay attention. You couldn't just mindlessly play this game.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's your classic Five Nights at Freddy's experience. You know, it's probably the simplest out of all the games.
I wish this was the second one. That's what I'll say.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because I think that this one was a lot better than the second one.
I just think the second one threw too much at you.
Yeah.
It's too.
You have to put on the mask. You have to wind the music box. You have to check the vent.
And there's like literally like 8 to 10 enemies. That
and you're not sure what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, you have to figure all that out. It's like, it's just a lot.
If this was kind of a tweaked version with the original cast of characters or animatronics, maybe with a couple added.
Yeah, I think
they brought back
cool.
the fan. That's something,
yeah,
right?
That was cool.
Sure.
Uh-huh. All right, the original voice guy in there, too.
Yeah. All right, let's just go to scariness. How scary was this game? I gave it an 8 out of 10. John, a 6.5 out of 10. Kyle, a 3 out of 10. Adam, a 6 out of 10.
All right. Kyle, Robert.
Explain yourselves.
Fight!
I don't like jump scares. It's just they're dumb. They're cheap. That's all this is. Like, no, there's no, they don't build up any kind of atmosphere. They're not building any sort of tension here. Mm-hmm. They're not scaring me through a story. It's just, when is the fucking thing going to pop out of me?
Oh, and an uppercut. Wait.
Sure.
Robert stumbles back.
Okay. my retort. basically, I judged it on the other games. I rated this game pretty similar to the other ones because I felt it didn't really do anything too different, but it was pretty, like...
Robert with a wild haymaker.
Right. I think it was a little less scary than the other two, but not much. I think like if I played this game first than the other ones, I think it would have been pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
Like the other ones.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the only reason why I gave it an 8 was because of how I rated the other ones. And I wanted to kind of keep it similar because I think as a game, it's pretty similar to the other ones. It's not really... The only thing I will admit that is the jump scares... I think some of them did work, but I don't think the Springtrap ones worked. Whenever he showed it wasn't scary. When Foxy jumped out, like the hallucination of Foxy and all the hallucinations or Puppet Master, when they showed up, that was kind of made me, you know,
something
jump back.
About the original characters is just really creepy.
I also, I feel like, I think what you were saying earlier, how it just feels like the safest you've been, I think that really hurts too, because in the first one, it felt really tense the whole time.
The door thing was so good in the first one.
Yeah, this one, I don't know, it felt a little more relaxed the whole time. It's like, well, most of these hallucinations can't hurt me. Like, there's only one real threat here.
I also think the fact of having the one door, and then if he was in the door, like, you can never really escape it. Whereas, like, in the first game, you had those doors that you could shut the door real fast. And as long as you had battery life,
you see, like,
you could
Chica just, like... Yeah, like, oh,
you could just hope that they were gone, and I think that kind of amped up the tension.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one, like, there was, like, you know, it was simpler. There was no kind of management of anything. You were just checking stuff. The system reboots, that seemed kind of random at times. Like, it didn't really seem like, you know, you were just, like, on a time limit. It just, like, randomly...
Yeah, it would definitely just go off at random times.
Well, I know.
Sure.
Through in watching the playthroughs, that as you get towards the higher levels, you literally use it 2 times and then you've got to recharge.
Yeah, it's a lot. The recharge is a lot quicker. Like the pace of it goes a lot faster in the later nights.
Yeah, so I give this game, I think I rated it a little bit less scarier than the original game. Which
sounds
about right to me.
I know, so. I definitely did. I remember I gave the first one a 9, and I gave the second one an 8.3.
Yeah.
You just won a Monsters. 6.
Yeah. So a lot less, yeah.
But again, it was just kind of Five Nights at Freddy's fatigue.
Yeah, I think Agreed. It is. Maybe we'll wait a little bit longer till we do the fourth one or something. I don't know. All right.
I think it was just I kind of knew what to expect. The fourth one seems kind of completely different.
It does look different from like the gameplay footage. Yeah. I haven't watched too much, but
maybe that's why
I've just seen
RPG.
A few screenshots
and the RPG.
We'll wait till the next time we're playing a long game and got to bang out a podcast.
Yeah, because we can't beat the long game fast enough. That's like our biggest issue.
Let's also not forget the explosion of Funko products.
Really?
Yeah. There's so many Five Nights. Like at first, it was just like Five Nights at Freddy, like mini blind boxes from Funko. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I got a follow-up picture that showed like pencils and Hot Topic now owns it or some shit.
I think it's like it's become like kind of a cult hit.
Yeah,
where like
it
people
definitely
are just
does.
Like really have it has that cult following.
There's a movie coming out soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the RPG. I mean, that's the thing. It's got all these.
Christ.
It's got a comic series. It's
yeah.
It really blew
full
up.
Full size action figures, pencils, plushies.
I do think it's a cool idea, and I'm glad. Like, I like the game.
Hey, kudos
in general.
To Scott Catan.
Yeah.
For striking while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Make your money.
Yeah.
And get out.
I think they're decent games, even though we're rating them lower. Like, I think they're still decent.
Oh yeah,
games.
Yeah. It's not a
for
bad
the price.
Game.
And
still one of more unique games out there, not just in the horror, but just games in general.
Yeah,
definitely
yeah.
recommended.
If this was my first playthrough, I would have rated it a lot higher across the board. But after the third time, and it's nothing really new, and I know what to expect,
right.
It's like I'm not really going to give it too high of a score.
Yeah. Well, if you take all the scores and you average them out, it gets a 5.6. But since we're worried about scariness, if you average out all the scariness scores, it gets a 5.9.
A 5.9?
Which actually puts it pretty low, like a lot lower than the second one, which I think came out to like a 7 point something.
Yeah, 5.9.
5.9 puts it at, although this isn't an updated
list. It's not
an
updated list.
But it's between fine. Among the Sleep and Silent Hill.
Where is it in reference to the other two games?
Five Nights at Freddy's 1 has an 8.1. And then Five Nights at Freddy's 2 has a 7.7, so a lot lower than those.
Right. I guess it's hard to keep being scary and original.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. I think a lot of the sequels that we're going to play, like Resident Evil and stuff, like it's hard to keep it fresh and scary.
I can think of very few exceptions
yeah.
where the sequel is actually scarier, like Silent Hill 2.
But even that, like, yeah, Silent Hill 2, but then, like, the later Silent Hill games,
yeah,
not so much.
It's normally the first couple. Like,
yeah,
I'd
say
the
first one
will have
one
a good
or two
idea.
Are really good. Yeah.
And then the second one will really improve on it. And
right.
I don't know. I think the biggest problem is just, like you said, feeling so safe the whole time. That really
yeah.
kind of cuts down on the scary factor there.
Right. Well, I think he just wanted to kind of simplify it. Because 2 was kind of got kind of crazy there with the complexity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you scaled it back, but at the expense of the scariness of the game.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Which, as far as horror games go, it's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys. Any final thoughts on Five Nights at Freddy's 3?
I still like it, but yeah, it's definitely not as scary as the previous iterations.
Yeah, fun but unoriginal.
Yeah.
I agree.
Really, the third game is unoriginal?
Yep.
Just,
yeah.
It would be like, I don't know, something like maybe
Star Wars 7?
or that, or Friday the 13th Part 3, or yeah. you know, any of those.
If you're a fan of the first two games, go ahead and play this one.
Yeah,
Just
well
don't expect
it.
Anything new or anything really scary. So.
Yeah, you're not going to get... I think you'll get more jump scares and more actual frights yeah. in the first two games. Yeah.
Download it on your phone. Play it while you poop.
Yeah,
maybe
there
it'll
you
scare
go.
Your poops
play
out.
Play your phone, yep. your iPad, your Zoom.
That's yeah,
still
definitely a Zoom.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
All right, guys. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for what games we should play, drop us a line at sharkjumper.com, sharkjumper.com/lists. If you want to see all the games we played, rank from scariest to least scariest. And Robert, what else can they find at sharkjumper.com?
You'll see all of our podcasts, all of our fictional and non-fictional podcasts. I'm not going to name them. They're up there. They're on the homepage and they're on the podcast page. I
forgot
everyone that we do.
Yeah.
But also go to Patreon because I think we're going to start putting some bonus content on there, even for Horror Play. Yeah. And we also got bonus content for all of our other podcasts on there. We're starting to really update it more.
Our sex slave discussion will
sex
be
sex slave. We should really get into it. But yeah,
once we find it, we will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once we find him slash her, whoever it is.
I prefer just it.
It?
Okay. I mean.
Cousin it?
Cousin
whatever.
It.
Okay.
I mean, it was not all too, in too much
hair. It'll be a hairy hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, visit Patreon. Anything a dollar or more, you can donate. And even if you just want to donate a dollar a month, which would be $12 a year, that'll help us out greatly. So, yeah, if you can do that, visit Patreon.
$12
a
year, we could buy like 12 really crappy games on Steam.
Or 12 double cheeseburgers. Nope, not double. Mm-hmm. McDoubles.
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 Yeah. Or McPick 2.
That's true.
But you can do that 6 times.
Yes,
yeah, that's only that's $2. Yeah, all right. All right. For my co-hosts, Robert, Kyle, and Adam, I've been your host, John Lasma. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.